We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Sheila Hancock in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we welcome back to play the game Sheila Hancock against our three regular male competitors. And once again, I'm going to ask each of them to speak, if they can, for just a minute on some unlikely subject, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. And according to how well they do this, they will gain points, or their opponents will gain points. Clement Freud, will you begin the game for us this week? And it is the chairman. Would you now talk to us for just a minute on the subject of the chairman, starting now?
I first met the chairman when we were at school together. I recall very well walking through the courtyard, and a boy came up to me, and he was tall, fair-haired, distinguished, good-looking, erect, proud. And he said to me, "I'd like to introduce you to Nicholas Parsons." And behind him there came a small, grubby, strabacious, grotty.
Sheila Hancock has challenged. Why?
Deviation, because Nicholas Parsons isn't small and scrubby and grotty.
Was then.
I think... I'll put it to the audience. Do you agree with Sheila's challenge? I'm not going to adjudicate what I was like at that age. So do you agree with Sheila? Do you think I was small and scrubby and grotty when I was that age? If you do, will you... You don't. I haven't even got to put it to you. They agree with you, Sheila. Thank you very much for coming to my defense in that admirable way. I thank you, audience, for clapping, all four of you. And glad to have you back on the show, Sheila, to defend people's honor and integrity. And
what's the subject?
32 seconds, having gained a point for the chairman, starting now.
And he is tall and fair, with the most beautiful blue eyes. And the judgment of Solomon he gives on this program. Ever honest, ever discreet.
Clement Freud has challenged. Why?
Repetition of ever. Ever honest, ever discreet.
Yes, but she was being so charming and polite.
Yes.
Sheila gets a point. And there are 20 seconds for you to continue.
Today he has on an orange tie. This is for the benefit of the listeners. And a beautiful...
Peter Jones has challenged. Why?
Hesitation.
Yes, I think there was, I'm afraid. Yes. Peter, you have a point. 16 seconds for the chairman, starting now.
I'll pick up the threads of the clothes that he's wearing, including the fawn jacket and matching trousers.
Kenneth Williams, why do you challenge?
Deviation. He can't pick up the threads, otherwise I mean you were threadbare or something.
I'm not going to take my top garments off and show you how threadbare I am underneath. So, therefore, you are not to judge how threadbare I may be. In any way, he can, metaphorically speaking, take up the threads of the recent conversation. So I disagree with your challenge, and Peter has a point. And there are 10 seconds, Peter, to continue with the chairman, starting now.
He's wearing very crumpled cream socks underneath dark brown suede shoes. He's just holding up his left leg so that you can get a better view of it. His right leg...
At the end of that round, thanks to the clothes I was wearing and Peter's apt description of them, Peter Jones has jumped into a commanding lead of one. Sheila Hancock, it is your turn to begin, and the subject is the love of my life.
Oh, so many.
Can you reveal that to us in 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, he's a little short man with a face like a gnome. Sometimes he's beautiful, sometimes he's quite funny. He has...
Clement Freud's challenge, why?
It's a repetition of Nicholas Parsons again.
Certainly no repetition of Nicholas Parsons, so I'm afraid I disagree with the challenge, and Sheila has another point, and there are 42 seconds for the love of my life, Sheila, starting now.
Well, at the moment, he's tall and fair and wearing a thorn suit and yellow tie because he gave the judgment in my favour. But the love of my life a minute ago was this little fella who has the most expressive bottom in the business. Also has a great big range of voices which he uses at every available opportunity. I've never declared this in public, but I've known him for years, and it's been burning my heart, and I've longed to tell the world, and now I will. I adore him from the bottom of my soul, and everybody is always
Clement
known
has
it.
Challenged
except,
you.
Eh?
He's challenged you.
Well, he's got no right to challenge her. She was doing lovely, wasn't she? She was doing really lovely, that girl. Yes. More power to her elbow.
I think it was... Clement, why did you challenge?
It wasn't the elbow, it was the bottom.
I know, it was the bottom. I'm afraid.
Repetition of.
Yes. What?
Well, it's a very nice behind. She got
deviation.
Every right. What's the matter with you? Well, he's a spoilsport. You should never have had him on this show.
Well, you got him. Well, I'll tell you what, Kenneth, I think I can be quite subtle here, because the first time she was talking about your bottom, and the second time she was talking about the bottom of her heart.
Yeah. Ah, brilliant. Oh, he's a very good judge. What a judge.
I don't think so, but I'm going to give it to Sheila Hancock, yes, because everybody else wants to hear about the love of her life, and there are 20 seconds left for the love of my life, Sheila, starting now.
We were in a show years ago, and he was so kind to me that I couldn't help but love him and give him my everlasting devotion. Mind you, sometimes he trays...
Kenneth Williams, why have you...
Deviation. Shut? She didn't give me everlasting devotion, and one night when I came into her room, she said, shut up. She said to me, shut up. She said to me, oh, darling. I came in and I said, hello, darling. How are you? I said, oh, shut your great mouth, she said. Very rude to me. So that's not everlasting devotion, is it?
Well, I don't know. She might have been so filled with passion that's the only way she could express it. Perhaps you weren't responding to the love, and now she was being antagonistic.
Anyway, I haven't said I'm talking about him.
No, of course you haven't. There's another point, and there are 10 seconds left for the love of my life, Sheila, starting now.
And this fella lives in Macclesfield, and his name is Fred Smith. He happens to look a bit like Kenneth Williams, but it's nothing to do with him at all.
Well, the love of her life has taken Sheila at the end of that round into a commanding lead. She now leads Peter Jones by 3. Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin. The subject, getting in a flap. Can you go on that subject for just a minute, starting now?
I've been camping all over England and Wales and also in Italy and France. But perhaps the best place for it is New South Wales, the hinterland of which, or better known sometimes as the Great Outback, is unrivaled for panoramic views...
Sheila Hancock, a very loud challenge.
Deviation. What's this got to do with getting in a flap?
Well, to my way of thinking, he was going to talk about a tent flap, you see.
Ah.
That was what was on my way.
Oh, all right, then.
Yes.
Go on, then.
So, Peter, I disagree with the challenge, so you gain a point, and you have 40 seconds left for getting in a flap, starting now.
Beautiful country, though it is, the weather, unlike Mr. Freud, is not always clement. And when the southerly blusters...
Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
Hesitation.
Yes, I think so on this occasion. So there are 29 seconds for you, Clement, on getting in a flap, starting now.
One definition of getting into a flap is losing your mind, not being able to say what you mean to say, being flustered or becoming somewhat worried about what was going to happen. This is something which happens much more to Mr. Jones, Miss Hancock, Mr. Williams, and indeed yourself, if I may.
Kenneth Williams, wife of challenge.
Oh, it's just all so boring. Deviation.
Why?
Oh, discussion about Miss Hancock and all these things. I mean,
but you see, as long as you keep to the subject on the card, doesn't matter how boring or tedious or unebullient you may be, you are not committing any.
He didn't mind him, Sheila, talking about him. When he thought she was talking about him, he didn't object to that, did he?
Because it wasn't boring, it was lovely.
So as much as I appreciate the feeling behind the challenge, it wasn't a correct one, Kenneth, so Clement Freud has another point, and there are 6 seconds for getting in a flap, Clement, starting now.
Open the buttons, pull forward the material, and jump into it head first.
On this occasion, Clement Freud was speaking when the whistle went, and so he gains the extra point on that occasion, but Sheila Hancock is still leading. But back to you, Kenneth. Your turn to begin. Cagliostro, can you talk about him for just a minute, starting now?
Well, of course, one really thinks of the real name, which was Giuseppe or Giuseppe Balsamo. And he was some sort of prestidigitateur or alchemist, said he could convert base metal into gold, and obviously kidded Marie Antoinette, because he was at that court for a long time, and got strangely mixed up with this diamond necklace affair, you know. Of course, she never said all this stuff about let them eat cake. It was all rubbish, you know. She'd come from the Hofburg in Vienna, which was very bare and gloomy, and found Fontainebleau and Versailles.
Sheila Hancock's challenged you, why?
I hesitate to challenge in case you give it to me, but he's talking about Marie Antoinette, isn't he? Not about...
Because Cagliostro was at her court. He was an alchemist. Oh, you are raving mad.
But you've got to talk about him. Not about me. Anyway.
I must explain to the listeners that Kenneth Williams has now left his seat and put his fist up and challenged Sheila Hancock to do battle with him. Sheila says she's prepared to do so, so Kenneth's gone back to his seat. But I think... that Kenneth fairly well established that Cagliostro was at Marie Antoinette's court, and so I think it was relevant, Sheila. Right. So Kenneth gains a point, and he keeps the subject, and there are 19 seconds left, starting now.
So he produced this great lump of lead and said, before your very eyes, this is going to become this glittering thing, you see, promising her that he was going to turn it into this rare mineral. I won't say the name, because I'll be repeating myself.
Kenneth Freud is quite challenged. Why?
It's deviation. He's talking about repeating himself instead of about Cagliostro.
Yes, he was talking about repeating himself, but he was still referring to what Cagliostro did. Therefore, he wasn't deviating from the subject of Cagliostro. So he has another point, and there are 4 seconds left, Kenneth, starting now.
So she said, think on these things, and he thunk on them. No, I mean...
Kenneth Williams was then speaking when the whistle went, so he gained not only the extra point, but he was the only one to gain any points because he started with the subject and finished with it, and he's now in second place behind our leader, who is still Sheila Hancock. Clement Freud, it is your turn to begin. The subject, roses. Can you talk to us about roses for just a minute, starting now?
Roses are flowers that come in different colours and for some extraordinary reason seem to be called after people who forced, grew, or otherwise made them come up. There is, for instance, one bloom called P.J. Wilkinson, which was invented by a man who lived on the outskirts of Leamington.
Peter Jones, why have you challenged?
It couldn't have been invented. A rose can't be invented.
No, it can't be invented. It is created, it is nurtured, it is grafted, but hardly what you said. Therefore, Peter, I agree with your challenge, and there are 41 seconds for roses, starting now.
It's lovely to wander among them as they grow in Queen Mary's Gardens, one of my favourite walks in London. All varieties, Lady Wilkinson and Lady Blenkinsop and others.
Clement Freud's challenge, why?
Two ladies.
But I'm afraid there were two ladies there. So, Clement, I agree with the challenge. 30 seconds for you to continue with roses, starting now.
Aided by one small laboratory assistant who answered to the name of Watson.
Peter Jones's challenge, why?
Hesitation.
The only way he answered, if you hesitated, Watson. Otherwise, he did.
You should have made that clear before you
hesitated. I did. I said
you
he answered.
Said, as he hesitatingly replied, Swanson.
Don't you give any tricks away. You keep that one for yourself.
Yes, well, that's quite true. Yes.
No, I agree with your challenge. I think Clement, out of his own mouth, has committed himself by saying that's the only way to do it, by hesitating. There are 23 seconds for roses, Peter, starting now.
And, of course, there are many other parks in London, and the provinces, too. We mustn't forget the further reaches of this great country, which is very rich in flowers and all growing things, trees and grass and whatnot. But perhaps more beautiful than any of these green things are the purple, yellow...
Repetition of things.
Yes, there was. I'm lucky to see you growing whatnot. That's what I'm doing. That's what I was laughing about, Peter. I'm afraid you did repeat things, so Clement Freud gets the subject back just before the whistle. Only 2 seconds left. Roses, Clement, starting now.
Well, there were some who said the extra 2 answers made sense.
Sheila Hancock, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Hollywood. So can you talk to us about Hollywood for 60 seconds, starting now?
There are oaks and poplars and elms, all sorts of lovely trees in Hollywood, Berkshire. I used to go there a lot when I was a small child, and I enjoyed wandering under the shady boughs like a little babe in the wood. However, there is another definition of this name. It is in America, and a little while ago, I...
Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
It's deviation. It's not a definition of a name.
Oh, isn't it?
It's a geographical location.
That's true. That's
another
true.
Definition. That is a perfectly valid point, yes. Especially we didn't... I wasn't allow you having to invent a rose. So, Clement, you take a point and the subject. 35 seconds, Hollywood, starting now.
Hollywood in Berkshire is near a place called California in England because that county in which Windsor Castle is located does have a penchant for naming places entirely unsuitably and misleadingly. When I was a small boy who went to school not far from Hollywood, I was taken there to go on a plastic lake and jump into a cotton wool sea.
Peter Jones has challenged. Why?
Yes, whatever.
I think so. Yes, a cotton wool. So, Peter, I agree with the challenge, and you have a point, and there are 7 seconds for Hollywood, Peter, starting now.
Birthplace of my late wife. I say that in the sense not that she's dead, but no longer here, or at least not arrived yet. Otherwise.
Kenneth is looking very surprised and shocked. Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin. What a delightful subject that Ian Messett has thought of for you. Keeping up with the Joneses. 60 seconds, starting now.
I don't know who it was who coined or invented this phrase, but I am willing to bet that it was many years ago. And whoever did suggest the phrase first...
Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
Repetition of phrase.
Yes, I'm afraid you repeated your phrase. So, Clement Freud, you have a point, and you take over the subject with 47 seconds left. Keeping up with the Joneses, starting now.
When a friend of mine joined the circus, the very first job that he was given was to help the men on the trapeze, who were three brothers by the name of Jones. And his job was to sit on the seal.
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
It's a job twice, repetition.
That's quite right.
Yes, that's quite right. Yeah. Don't be so, Kenneth, you look very sort of,
Po-faced?
No.
I should, because I haven't spoken for ages. Furious here I am, glowering I am, flashing under the snub.
I haven't snubbed you, I just say you're going to look hurt. I was concerned
well,
for
that's
you.
Well, that's why I'm telling you.
I want to bring you back into the game. I want
right.
you to enjoy
bring
it.
Bring the fold, yeah.
Your ebullience and your...
I need all that.
Yes. So you're back with us because you gained a well-deserved point.
What's the subject?
The subject is keeping up with the Joneses.
Oh.
And there are 35 seconds to continue starting now.
Well, of course, this really refers to a kind of suburban snobbery whereby somebody says they've got it next door, why shouldn't we have it? I personally think it's a load of rubbish because I don't want what people have got mostly next door anyway. When I see after things...
Sheila Hancock challenge you why?
Repetition of next door.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got nerve.
But she also needs a point. She hasn't had one for about 2 rounds. So, Sheila, you have a well-deserved point, and there are 18 seconds for keeping up with the Joneses starting now.
If this refers to Peter sitting on my left, it's a very easy matter, because he moves rather slowly. Many's the time I've walked down the street with him, and I found it no effort at all to even overtake him. So, therefore, I would say that this is a simple matter.
Well, Sheila Hancock was then speaking when the whistle went, so she's gained 2 points of that round. Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. Joseph Michael Montgolfier is the subject that Ian Messett has thought of for you, and can you talk to us about him for 60 seconds starting now?
Well, Montgolfier said to his brother, Jacques, here, why don't we go up in this balloon? And they, in fact, invented one and went up in it, and they said it was marvellous because you just floated through the silence of the atmosphere, savouring almost an uncanny feeling of poetic majesty as clouds sail by in the azure blue of the heavens and pointing out below little landmarks of a steeple or a church nave or a garden or a river flowing gently, say, winding down to an inland port where they were unloading bales of hay or rye or
the... Peter Jones, you've challenged. Why?
Sounds like a lot of hot air.
Uh, I think you're right, but can you maybe be more precise in your challenge?
Well, he kind of made...
You mean he was deviating from what Montgolfier did...
Yes.
...into describing the picturesque English countryside?
I think it's fair to say that, yes.
So, Peter, you have a point, and there are 7 seconds for Joseph Michael Montgolfier, starting now.
Didn't actually invent the balloon, but merely made a plan for such
Sheila
a...
Sheila Hancock challenge, why?
Oh, I hate to do it. Hesitation.
Well, you hate to do it, why did you do it?
Oh, well, because it's the game. You have to play the
game,
Peter.
Yes, you have to play the game. I think it was so borderline, and as there's only 2 seconds to go, I think I must put it in fairness to the audience. Let them be the final judge. I'd hate to judge.
That's just mob rule, you know, that is.
Yes. Well, I've got to go for mob rule now, because it's absolutely equal. There really is only 1 point separating everybody.
Well, I know. I'll yield.
There's only 1 point separating the contestants.
You're going to yield?
Yes,
I wouldn't mind yielding to Sheila Hancock. Shut up,
Kenneth. It's really mounting here, yes, in my corner here. I'm sweat pouring off the face, and Sheila Hancock is visibly perspiring. Yes, she's got underarm stain. I can see it coming through now. It's really 27.
Are you finished, Kenneth?
I'm throbbing with it.
I know. Do you want to go some, and then we continue?
Oh, well, after.
Oh. Right, Peter Jones says he wants to yield to Sheila Hancock. It's all getting very intimate, isn't it? We will give Sheila a point, and there are 2 seconds, Sheila, for you on Joseph Michael Montgolfier, starting now.
This gentleman went up...
Well, as Sheila was speaking when the whistle went, she got the extra point, so it means that she is 1 point in the lead. If it had been the other way round and Peter hadn't yielded, he would now be 1 point in the lead. It's very interesting, isn't it, really? By the way, I'm not... certain of my facts, but I believe the facts are that neither of these inventors actually ever went up in the balloon. They sent other people up, which I think is a pretty safe way of inventing things. Clement Freud, the subject is now with you, and it is journalism. Can you talk for just a minute on journalism, starting now?
Journalism can be said to be a secondary art, the primary one being writing, and this one coming when nobody will publish long books or tracts. But there are people prepared to print small snippets of information like, quote, nothing much happened in Chile today, unquote, which is the sort of headline you would find in Fleet Street journals on sale at any good newsagent in towns, cities, even villages. I am a journalist inasmuch as nobody will employ me in other capacities, always excepting panel games on the British Broadcasting Corporation and occasionally selling pigeons on Blackpool Beach. Recently, I was there saying, half a crown, who wants one? And a man said, I would very much care to have a pigeon.
Kenneth Williams has challenged. Why?
How rotten. I said pigeons.
It was rotten, but it was...
I said pigeons.
Yes.
Pigeon.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I do withdraw my challenge, and I'm terribly sorry.
No, it sounded like a repetition of the word, and I think it was. So, and as it's so close, I've got to be very... very accurate here. So, Kenneth, you have a point, and there are 7 seconds for journalism starting now.
Well, contrary to what Clement Freud said, it is not an art at all. It is to do with...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Art doesn't have 3 syllables. He hesitated terribly, strung it out. Spinning it out, hopelessly.
Well, I know why. You see, he's now knows what the game's about. Yes. He knows there's only 2 seconds to go, and he's coming in with any old challenge.
I don't. I rather resent that any old challenge. Perfectly good challenge.
Yes. It was a good challenge, but it's not an accurate one. I'm not going to allow it.
No, I'm afraid it was accurate. He's right. I was spinning it. I was spinning it out.
You always spin it out, and we know that. You always spin it out. If I have to give it to you against you now for spinning it out, I should have given it to you 100 times before.
I see your point.
So,
no,
everybody has their style of speech, and unless you overplay your style, and you weren't overplaying then, I must give it to you, Kenneth, and there are 2 seconds for journalism starting now.
It's simply putting down the stuff that appears instantaneously in the newspapers and is made instantaneously, therefore, 142
Well, I had a very difficult decision to make in the last one, as you saw it was so keen, because if I'd given that decision to Peter Jones, we would have had 3 equal winners. Instead of that, we have 2 in second place, which is Peter Jones and Clement Freud, 1 point behind this week's winner, Sheila Hancock. And And we do hope that you've enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.